Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Now, author Sinead Moriarty has sold over 900,000 books across the UK and Ireland. Her latest novel, The In-Laws, is a sharp and probably relatable tale for some on dealing with the family that you didn't choose. Sinead joins me now to discuss this further. And I take it isn't about your own experience of your in-laws. That's dangerous territory, Sinead.
Very dangerous, but it's fiction, Anna, let's not forget. And the first line of my acknowledgements is, just to clarify, I have lovely in-laws. So no, I have gorgeous in-laws. So this is pure fiction.
This is pure fiction. Tell us about the book. I love your style of writing. I've read many of your books, Sinead. They are, we were talking about the stumbling block earlier on in the item about children's reading. You know, they suck me in. The style of your writing sucks me in from the word go.
Well, that's lovely to hear. Thanks a million. So I suppose I was watching that TV show Succession.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of loosely based on Rupert Murdoch. And I was just thinking about, you know, a family that all work in the same business. And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if it was a mother who ran the family business and her three sons worked for her and one daughter-in-law? And then I just thought, so the opening of the book is she has an accident. And so she breaks her leg. So she's aging and suddenly everyone's really intensely thinking about succession and who's going to succeed. Now, the obvious person to succeed is her daughter-in-law, but it's never going to happen because she's not blood relation. And then all the brothers kind of want to. And it just brings up the whole thing of blood is thicker than water. And then the mother kind of pits her sons against each other. And the daughters-in-law are all very different. They're not particularly close. They don't particularly get on. They're very different people. But as the book progresses, they realize that they're actually stronger together to fight their mother-in-law than actually, you know, living in their individual bubbles, protecting their own little patch. So it's just about really families. And I suppose whether you're married or not or whatever, everybody has experienced the families of somebody else. And sometimes you really like them and sometimes you absolutely loathe them. So I just thought, wouldn't it be interesting just to put a whole family and but focus on the in-laws? Because as an in-law, you're always slightly an outlaw.
It's so true. And sometimes we get lucky and sometimes people have a very unfortunate situation to have to deal with, I suppose. And listen, we're laughing about it. It can be very serious for some people in terms of, you know, the emotional toll it can take as well.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the characters in the book, so the mother runs a literary agency. So she's, you know, it's all kind of fairly highbrow. One of the characters and one of the sisters-in-law studies suffers very badly with dyslexia and has no confidence, and the mother-in-law kind of plays on that, and it's just about all those different things. And then her daughter's very bright, so the mother-in-law kind of almost pits her daughter against her. Like, it's just, it's all those kind of things that can happen within a family and how you deal with it. And so there are as in with all my books, there are serious themes, but there's also, you know, hopefully a very engaging story and a bit of crack in there as well. But it's, you know, there's so many different themes in the book. There's, you know, marriages on the rock as well. Some may make it, some may not. There's, you know, affairs, there's teenagers getting into drugs. Like, there's loads of different things going on. But the essence of it really is how to sort of navigate the family you didn't choose, and how, you know, really becoming friends with your sisters-in-law is a much better way to manage things, particularly if you have this kind of a domineering mother or father-in-law, which is the case in the book. So it's kind of interesting. And also, you know, you don't choose your in-laws, but, you know, your sisters-in-laws as well, they're complete strangers to you. And then you're sort of thrown together, and I mean, you might like them, you might not.
Exactly, because you're expected to act like best friends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're expected to spend like time together and share kids and stuff. It's the whole, I mean, we think about it, the whole thing is kind of slightly mad, but actually I've been very lucky, but I know some people aren't. So I just thought, let's explore that.
Exactly. Well, I've been extremely lucky as well, thankfully. And my sisters-in-law are like best friends, which is great. But I'm conscious of other, you know, friends who don't have that same setup, and it can present a lot of difficulty. I know Graham Norton always says he writes about what he knows. That's what he told me before. So there's someone in a literary agency here. Is that your experience, or from your experience of going in and out of these agencies?
Yeah, like, I've never done it before, and I just thought, why not, you know, have a setting that I know quite well. And I also think people are quite interested in literary agencies and how they run and how agents deal with writers, because, you know, writers are a mixed bag, and you know, a lot of writers need a lot of reassurance.
That's very kind, Sinead. And they can be very temperamental.
Listen, I'm speaking of my own tribe here. So, and you know, you're sometimes you ring your agent and you're very low, and they kind of have to, you know, almost be therapists as well as agents and acquaintances and friends. And there are lots of different relationships people have with their agents. So I thought it'd be really interesting to kind of look at that as well, because it is a world I know obviously pretty well.
Of course. And it's a fascinating insight for anyone who hasn't worked in an agency or been exposed, I suppose, to that kind of an environment as well. We were having a chat earlier on, and I'd love to get your take on this as a mother as well, Sinead. We had Jenny from Children's Books Ireland on, and the stats did you hear that? Parents reading to their children. They're kind of depressing, to be honest with you. And listen, we're all guilty of being exhausted and going, listen, we'll do that book, the little cozy reading corner tomorrow. And then it doesn't happen for weeks or months or even years on end in some cases.
Well, what I found really upsetting was, I don't know if it's the same findings, but HarperCollins did one recently as well, and it said that 44% of parents don't find reading to their kids fun. Now, I don't know how people define fun, but like my happiest memories are, you know, reading to my kids at night when they were just getting all kind of sleepy and, you know, seeing their eyes light up when we're reading Harry Potter or whatever it might be. Like, to me, it's almost my favorite part of the whole day. So you're kind of going, well, how are people defining fun now? Like, what is fun if not reading to your kid? And it's kind of the one time in the day where everyone's calm. Now, I know, listen, there were times where they were all running around in circles and I was trying to get them to listen. But once they engage with the book, like, it's magic. And if we don't instill like a love of books and reading to our kids, they've no hope. I mean, my three kids were great readers, and then they got phones, and now they wouldn't read the back of a cornflakes box.
Really? Okay. And you're being, I love the honesty there, because screens are, they're flashing. It's all so exciting. It moves fast. Yeah. You know, there's no getting, you know, going through a time where I'm not sure about this book or whatever. It's just all instant, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's a problem, and attention. And I even know myself, like when I pick up a book, it takes about 10 minutes for me to actually just click off from everything and not reach my phone and immerse myself in a book. And I think a lot of young people just don't have the patience. But you know, it's something like, I'm kind of hoping that my kids will come back to, my teenagers will come back to it, because they were readers as young people. But God, if we don't encourage them and reach them when they're young, I don't think they have any hope, do you know? So I find that really, really depressing and upsetting. I mean, I really think we have to read to kids. Like, you have to, because like, they love it. They really love it.
They love it. And I think, as Joanna Fortune was saying earlier on, you know, the adults, we as parents, you know, our mind dines out on that magic moment afterwards as well. It's good for us as well as the children.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing. And it's also, it's very bonding, you know. And then you chat about the book and what's going to happen. And just, there's so much more to it than just reading. And I know, like, as you say, you know, tired and time poor, but like, we're talking about 15 minutes here.
Yeah.
And it's lovely, you know, like, you don't have to do for hours, just do your little 15 minutes every night. It's precious. Honestly, you will never regret it.
It's precious and it's magic, and it's a kick up the arse for us all to make more time for it, to be honest with you, off the back of this conversation. You're on a media tour for this book at the moment. How's that going, Sinead?
It's going really well, thanks. Yeah, no, it's because it's been a really good reaction to it. My first review said it's like Bad Sisters without the murders.
Oh, listen.
I thought that was great. I liked that.
Yeah. The Dream. That's one of my favourite series ever.
Yeah, I just thought that was a great review. So I'm hanging on to that line. No, it's going really well. And, you know, it is my sort of 18th book with Penguin, and it never gets old. It's always nerve wracking and exciting and gratifying. And yeah, so like, I just feel very blessed to do something that I love. And, you know, people seem to be really enjoying it. I just think, you know, the world's very dark at the moment. It's very violent. It's very chaotic. And I think we all need a break. So, you know, I'm not just saying you have to buy my book, but treat yourself to a book and just switch off. Honestly, put your phone aside.
It's good for you. It's good for the soul, isn't it?
Yeah. And just like, let your mind just disappear into something other than all the chaos and noise around us. So, you know, honestly, self-care, treat yourself to a book.
I have a text in here and I just want to read it out. Kids absolutely love fun. We always read to our kids, but we also have a lot of squishmallows that have taken on their own characters. So we make up new stories for them every evening at bedtime. One has an Indian accent, one speaks Irish only, one meditates and lives in Tibet, and another one comes from the North Pole and even knows Santa. The fun we have making up stories and getting the girls engaged, and even my 15-year-old still loves it. But this all stemmed from reading to our girls, and it can sometimes be hard because we're tired. But all too soon, they don't need to be read to and they're grown up. Oh my God, that's so true, Sinead, isn't it?
It's so true. And actually, that's another lovely thing to do, is to make up stories, because that really kind of clicks on the creative side of your brain. I mean, that's just fantastic. And don't forget, you know, books we read as children are very powerful. Like my favorite book as a child was Little Women, and Jo March was my favorite character. And you know, she tries to become a writer and she fails and she tries and she fails and eventually she succeeds. And when I was trying to be a writer, like, and I was failing, I actually used to think about Jo March in the book. And, you know, so the power of a book you read as a child can, you know, stay with you throughout your life. So let's never underestimate it. And I started writing for kids a couple of years ago, and it's the most gorgeous space. Like I just think it's really important, you know, to get children reading. And they're well able for strong themes. I've written about refugees and homelessness, and they love it, because if it's an engaging story, they will be engaged.
Yes. Now, someone does say, just in the interest of balance here, reading is wonderful, but not everyone is a reader. My kids are dyslexic and hate reading, and it doesn't mean anything about their intelligence or prospects.
But that's not what we're saying.
No.
And a dyslexic child can still be read too. You know what I mean? So like it's like audiobooks work really well for people with dyslexia. There's lots of different ways to be a reader. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not saying it's easy, but I think there are lots of different ways to approach it.
Yeah. Come at it from a different way. Someone else,
for
I'd
sure.
imagine an aspiring writer, Sinead, is asking, do you have a designated writing area in your house, or how does that process happen for you? Is it like you're going to work for a 9-to-5 in terms of your writing when you get stuck in on a deadline?
I first started writing when I had a full-time job. So I just wrote at a little desk in my bedroom. And now I have a little tiny office in my house.
Now she
here.
Has a tower.
Tiny office. It's like a glorified cupboard. But I write. I've always kind of written school hours, I guess. So I kind of write 9 to 3 usually. I always find I always dip a bit in the afternoon. So yeah, but you have to figure out what works for you. But for as far as I'm concerned, routine is the key.
Tony says, my son used to gallop around the bedroom while I read to him and his sister. But every now and then he would stop and ask a question. So if your child's not sitting still, it doesn't mean they're not soaking it up. That's a great point by Tony. Sinead Moriarty, we wish you well with your latest book. Huge success. Over 900,000 books sold already. The In-Laws is out now. Thanks very much, Sinead.
Thanks a million, Anna.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.